In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Brothers and sisters, we've entered this beautiful time four times a year, an ancient Christian practice. We enter what's called these fasting times, times of deeper repentance. Now, we should always be in repentance. The danger is that I'll be serious about my spiritual life during the fast, but outside of the fast, The Holy Fathers and the saints who gave their lives for Jesus Christ certainly didn't see it this way. They tried with all their heart. The Lord says, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's a large calling. And even if we do make it our whole purpose of our life, the first thing you realize is that we're utter failures at it. And that try as we might, the old man, the fallen man, battles against this. That's even when you are actively trying. If you're not even trying at all, we are like playthings for the demons and depressions and the passions and all those things. So it's understood that we're always striving in the spiritual life. And for those of us perhaps who haven't been, the Lord is so merciful and gives us, the church is our mother, which knows how weak we are, knows that we need these times to rededicate our life to Christ and to the kingdom of God and to paradise. We lose perspective so quickly, priests, bishops, monks, all of us. Lewis' perspective, the world is so alluring and so distracting. We're given this beautiful time. And even for those great ascetical warriors who live in the mountains, the great monastics, and those of us who might think that we are strivers, if we think so, we're in trouble. But it's a time for greater ascetical feats. It's a time to lay aside, as we say in the Trubic hymn, lay aside all earthly cares. And we have a lot of earthly cares, all of us. And most of us live in the world. Many of us have families, we have jobs, we have bills to pay, we have cars to drive, we have to keep a roof over our head, clothing, and it's stressful sometimes. And all the cares of this life crush us under the weight, and church and Christ can feel like some distant thing that's just one more hassle. How sad for us, brothers and sisters, but how common. And thank God we're here. This church is a hospital for us to come and to be healed of our faithlessness. To be healed of our weak faith, to come here and go, to breathe spiritual air and to go, okay, this is what my life is about. Gosh, Lord, forgive me, my priorities. They got out of whack, and in 1 week they got out of whack. That's why we can't be Sunday-only Christians also. So we have to be coming to the weekday services, the weekday liturgies, the Paraclesis service, which we have. Tomorrow night, the Feast of Transfiguration. We do that because it keeps us fresh. It keeps our hearts breathing, breathing spiritual air so we don't get lost in the tumultuousness of this world and all of our cares. If we live this way, then Christ isn't some one more hassle, one more thing to feel bad about that you're not good at, which we often think in our kind of Eeyore pride. It's the only place where you have stability. The world's very unstable. Our health is very unstable. You can work it all the time and do whatever you want and get hit by a truck by God's providence. It's up to Him, right? You can work really hard at your job and get fired. You can build a beautiful house and it can burn down. All those things can be taken from you, but living faith in Christ can never be taken from you. It's the only thing you can bank on in this whole crazy world, and more importantly, in the kingdom to come. I was reading a story recently of a woman whose daughter had gone to the monastery and she didn't like it. And she wasn't baptized either in Russia. And there was an Orthodox doctor there. It's funny, I just heard this recently from another Orthodox doctor in our community, but it was interesting. She was against being baptized, and this doctor talked to her about the difference of how people who are Orthodox, serious about their faith, and those who are not believers, atheists, how they die differently. And the lady said, what do you mean? Because everyone cares about death. Even if you think you're not a believer, everyone is scared of that. Everyone knows that's going to happen. It's a guaranteed event. And she said, it's very simple. Those who are baptized and who love Christ and who love the spiritual life, and He is their rock, and they've labored and struggled to do that, they have complete joy and anticipation. Like the Creed says, I look for the resurrection of the dead. Better translation, I expect and look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. They're sad to leave, yes, this is the body they know. They're scared to stand before God with all their sins, but they've repented, they've confessed. They want to be with Christ forever and lay aside this broken body. It's beautiful. I can tell you as a priest, it's like a Pascha when you're with someone like that. Your faith grows so much. And for an unbeliever, an atheist, or a person who's baptized doesn't take it seriously, it's opposite. It's terror. It's the most horrible thing I've ever been through as a priest. All of a sudden, they wish they could have changed their life. All of a sudden, there's no time for all the repentance. There's no time. They're panicked. They can't make up for all the ways they didn't ask forgiveness of their kids, their parents, of everyone. And terror seizes them, and they are a wreck. Scared out of their wits, horrible, sick, and they suffer painfully so much. And all this mother had to hear was that and go, I want Jesus Christ. I want to be ready. I want the kingdom of God. And if she was baptized, she's a very serious Orthodox Christian now, who is not afraid of her death. Perfect love casts out fear. We should be afraid of dying. Not because, I mean, it's going to happen. Not for that reason. It's going to happen. But because we're not ready. And even Plato, who was a non-Christian before Christian, said all of life is a preparation for death. And Christians knew that, and that was their joy. And let's get real. Most of our joy is from worldly stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm a normal guy. Food is great. I have a great wife who's a great cook, and I love dinner time with my family. It's like sacramental. It's very beautiful, as it should be for all of us. You know, putting your feet up sometimes, having a drink, going out to dinner, being with your friends, going to a basketball. Those are fine things when they are lateral. In other words, when they are something on the side of our lives, something that's the icing on our life, it's not the main focus. And as I've said many times, if we're really honest with ourselves, those worldly things, those idols, become the content of our life. Really, we think, my happiness is, I get to do this. And that's going to be a terrible situation because, guess what? It doesn't always work out. You can't always go to the game. You can't always eat the food you want. You can't always, and it's like building a house on sand. And guess what? When someone's dying, they can't eat. So gluttony doesn't help anymore. They can't drink. They can't go watch TV. They can't see anymore. All the things that they thought gave them stability are crumbling before their very eyes. And they go to grab their support, and it's not there. It's terrible panic. So the fast time is a little wake-up call, a little mini-death for us to remind ourselves of what's going to happen and not to be afraid, to be ready. And to say, these so-called things, these supports in my life are phantom. They're fine, but they're not going to support me when things get hard. Only Christ, only a life in Christ, only if I'm confessing my sins, only if I'm in church all the time, only if I'm reading the scriptures at home, only if I'm humble and asking forgiveness, receiving Holy Communion, having the blessing of my spiritual father. When you do those things, you're creating these incredible handrails, steel, iron, that nothing can take from you. And when the world gets rocky, in the ship of life, which it does, you don't just fall over. You grab onto those things, and they keep you through all the storms of life. And the fast is given to us to create those. And let's be honest, they're not very strong for many of us. But we make a new beginning, and we say, I want you to be my rock, Christ. I know you're not, but I want you to be. And a heart like that, God will never despise a broken, humble heart that comes to Him and says, I want you, and not food, not drink. I'm willing for these next 2 weeks to lay aside food more, even though I love it. Lay aside drink more, even though I like having a beer. Lay aside TV more, even though I like watching. I'm going to lay aside all those things because I know they're not saving. And I am going to latch onto you. And I know I'm not going to want to, but it is worth paradise. It is worth being delivered from your passions. And how does that happen? It's a mystery, the mystery of faith. When your heart, when you open to Jesus Christ in the church and say, heal me, forgive me, Lord, please. And you live the 2,000-year-old way of the church. There's no rocket science here. If you're not baptized, you become a catechumen and you get baptized. We'll help you. If you are baptized, but you're really struggling, there's no way to make spiritual progress unless you're going to confession. If you're confessing, you're being healed. If you're not going to confession regularly, you are not healed and you will not be ready to die. And you'll be, and your passions will be in you. If you're not fasting, you'll be addicted to stuff. And this is a beautiful time for all of us to admit how weak we are and to say, I want to have that joy. I don't want to be a slave to these things anymore. How does that happen? You utter one prayer before God. You follow the time-tested path. Anybody can be humble and go to confession. Anybody can come get baptized. It doesn't take a smart person or a rich person. Just a humble person. Just a willing person. And our pride keeps us from so much, doesn't it? And when you humbly open your heart, you know what happens? The grace of God floods it. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ fills you. Our whole life is the resurrection. The Orthodox Gospel, every Orthodox on Sunday morning is about the resurrection. There's a different reading every Sunday about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Why do we do that? Why is every Sunday like Easter? To remind you that you can be risen. Not just Christ is risen for 40 days. Christ is always risen. And that was the whole reason God became a man and suffered and died on the cross and rose and taught us how to live and built His church, established His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, so that by His resurrection, you can be resurrected people. People who can say, for a Christian, there truly is no death. The saints say, for a man and a woman who loves Jesus and the resurrection is his life, death is like laying aside the vesture of this body being folded up and entering the greatest joy in the kingdom of God. The resurrection of Christ is everything. How little do we read the gospel of the resurrection? How little on Sunday mornings do we think about, this is like Easter. We're celebrating Jesus is risen. God has destroyed death. I don't have to live this way anymore. I don't have to be afraid of my sins, afraid of dying. I don't have to be afraid of my ego. I can actually ask forgiveness. I don't have to be number one. I can weep. I can be open and I don't have to be afraid of dying. I can live as a true free person. That's what God calls to be free people. You enslave your sins and you become free in Christ. Many of us doubt the resurrection. That's the problem. We don't spend time with Him. The resurrection seems like a nice idea, but it's far from us. Every Sunday there's a different hymn. Do you notice? If you pay attention, there's a resurrection troparion. Today was tone 6. When Mary stood at thy grave, looking for thy sacred body, angelic powers were above thy revered tomb, and the soldiers who came to guard became as dead men. Thou led Hades captive, and was not tempted thereby. Thou didst meet the Virgin, and didst give life to the world, O Lord. Glory be to thee. If you're part of this church, you've heard that hundreds of times. How often have you thought about it? How powerful it is. You destroyed the bonds of hell. You broke the tomb open. You met the Holy Virgin and you brought life to the world. Oh Lord, glory be to thee. But you don't say glory be to thee for things that you're not thankful for or don't know about. And that's what we're given this beautiful fasting time. You want more proof of the resurrection? The saints. There's an icon in the middle today. There's the Virgin Mary, beautiful icon. And an icon of 7 beautiful young men. And they're called the 7 sleepers of Ephesus. And why is it related to the resurrection? Here's why, very quickly. They were 7 Christian young men, boys, who in the year 250, and it was a terrible persecution of Christians under the evil Emperor Decius. And he established huge, sick, kind of gladiatorial games, pagan frenzies and festival, which always had to have torment and torture of Christians as part of the fun. It was sick. And if you didn't participate, you were killed. So these 7 soldiers, they were eminent young men soldiers. Their parents were influential men in the government. They refused to take part in this idol worship and these terrible things. And people heard about it and they were after them. So they fled to the mountains, to the hills outside of Ephesus. Ephesus is a very ancient Christian city. It's now in present-day Turkey, like many ancient Christian sites. And they fled to a cave and they went deep in this cave. And the soldiers came and couldn't find them. They did a terrible thing. They took the rocks and nailed the rocks and they covered up the mouth of the cave. It had no other exit. And they with huge boulders all the way down, and they sealed it. He said, they're dead. They're as good as dead. And some Christians knew they were up there and lamented. They couldn't move the boulders. They were so sad. And so one of them who loved God, he went and put a little bronze plaque there in honor of their beautiful names. They have beautiful names, these beautiful men. I want to tell you their names. They're hard to remember, but I love their names. Their names are, where are they here? I heard Benjamin struggle through them earlier. Maximilian, Exa Custodian, Iamblichus, Martinian, Dionysius, John, the easy one, and Constantine. These incredible young men. Not much different than you or I. They just believed in Jesus Christ and they were willing to sacrifice everything. You might think, sad story. No. After that bronze plaque was made, placed on the, everyone forgot about them. Fast forward 184 years to the reign of Theodosius the emperor, and in this time of the Christian Empire, there was a great dispute among people about the resurrection. People were doubting the resurrection, and that was horrible. It was horrible. The emperor, the Christian emperor, said, if people doubt the resurrection, they're going to be full of death. And so the patriarchs and the bishops and the priests and the emperor were praying, please God, give the people hope in the resurrection. And these 2 men who many years worked the fields as shepherds and they owned it called the hill Nencelion. They went up there and they found this plaque. And they said, let's honor the bodies of these martyrs. And with a bunch of people, they slowly, rock by rock, they removed all of the rocks, went deep into the cave with their torches, and found an amazing thing. They were all still alive and sleeping. And their bodies were the same youth. Same youth. And they arose from the sleep, and all they could talk about was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they had been given a foretaste of paradise in that sleep. And so that it had just been a sleep and a foretaste of paradise. They could not believe it. They came out and they were preaching the resurrection to everyone. And the emperor himself came to this small cave, met them, confirmed the whole story, and glorified God. And all the people who were doubting, how great is the resurrection? God gave this miracle to show people the resurrection was true. And after 1 week of preaching the gospel, with much peace, they lay down together and they died in the body, truly to go and to be in the fullness of that foretaste they had been given. There's so many miracles like in the history of the church that we should have no doubts, brothers and sisters. We have these beautiful young men who were just like us in their sins, but they decided to love Jesus Christ more than anything. Only because Christ was their life in church could they be so brave and run away from all the things they loved for the sake of Him and not denying Him. May God give us strength, brothers and sisters, in this crazy world that wants to say that homosexuality is okay. It's not okay. We have compassion for everyone that struggles, but it's sickness and distortion and sin. And our world is saying, telling even children, it's okay. It's not okay. And I'll die on that hill. Marriages are so important, and the way you're saved and how beautiful children come about. And the other is St. Paul says, an abomination. I counsel many people who struggle with that, but they know it's a sin and they struggle against it, and they have an amazing battle and they're saved by that struggle. God, if we take away that struggle and say it's okay, we call darkness light? Never in the Orthodox Church. Because we love people. Because we love our children. We stand fast in the Orthodox faith. Marriage is a man and a woman. And the other is disgusting. Because it's not made by God. It's not wrong to say. It's not wrong to say. It's exactly what God says. We have compassion for all sins. Fornication of any kind. Our world says it's fine to just go do things with people outside of marriage. It's disgusting in the same way. It's wrong. And we are so afraid to call sin, sin. Light, light, and darkness, darkness. It's terrible. Sexual sin is terrible. Pornography is terrible. And the church is a light that says, this is darkness. Christ is the risen. He's light and He's resurrection. But He can't resurrect you if you think you're fine. Only when you know you're dying in your sins. So our world does no favors to us. People go, Father, this is kind of tough. You're being a little bit tough. No, I'm being loving. It's because I don't care what the world thinks of me. I care about you being saved. I care about our kids not being led astray into terrible sinful lifestyles that would rob them of the resurrection. And you can be sure that sin does that. We're never going to do it. I'll go to jail for standing up for the Orthodox faith. I'm not going to apologize for loving Jesus Christ. I'm not going to apologize for living a moral life and trying to do it for all of you. I'm not going to apologize for protecting your children from all the insanity of this world that says drugs are fine, marijuana is fine. What? What kind of world do we live in? Right? Living together before you're married is fine. No, it's not fine. It ruins people's marriages. Lust is not fine. Being a liar is not fine. Brothers and sisters, this is the light. And guess what? We're getting nailed. We who live in this church are getting assaulted. And kids even more. Especially in this world. It is so much worse than when I was, than 20 years ago. When I was for kids. It's so crazy. If you want your kids to be like these seven sleepers of Ephesus, make sure they know the Christian life. Make sure they know what sin is. And we don't judge. When the crazy parade goes on, I tell my kids, that is sin. But we just pray and we weep. We don't judge. We're all sinners. We discern into the truth and falsehood. We don't say, oh, it's fine. We say, look how crazy the world is. Look how we're all so broken. God help us all. And we weep. But we hold the line of what truth and beauty and holiness and where resurrection lies. Where does resurrection lie? In holiness. In self-control. In moderation. In love, in sacrifice, in a living faith in Jesus Christ. How do we have faith in Jesus Christ? You live the life of the church. What's your opinion about gay marriage? Your personal opinion doesn't matter. The opinion of Jesus, the God who's going to judge all of us and who made us all, that matters. Our opinions are so flaky and flighty. Your opinion on everything should be, what does the church say? What does the living God say? That's my opinion, because I'm a messed up, broken person. I'm not going to give you my opinion because I'm still being healed. That's Christian humility. All the saints in these walls didn't have these sharp personal opinions, thinking they know better than the church. Not a single one of them. They all realized, I'm the broken person. The church is a hospital, and I'm going to tell the hospital how to heal me. God, forgive my pride. And that's the beginning of their healing. So may God help us today. Make a new beginning, the fast, brothers and sisters. Start fasting. Start praying. More important than anything, start loving Jesus Christ. How? Open your heart. Spend time in prayer. Come to the priests. Everyone come to confession in this fast. Our metropolitan says he wants everyone, minimally in the four fasts, everyone come to confession. Come and have a spiritual father. Come begin this walk with Jesus Christ. If you've begun it, re-begin it, because we're all failures in God. Live the ascetical life. Live the moral life. Wear your cross with joy. Not with pride, with joy, not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Do your cross at lunch, wherever you are, with joy and with boldness. Humble boldness. And love holy marriage as a beautiful icon. Christ says that, St. Paul says that a man and a woman in holy marriage is an icon of Christ and His church. And God, that we let anything supplant the beautiful God-given place of holy marriage. We won't allow that, because it is a path to salvation for this crazy, crazy world. May we be lights to this world, brothers and sisters. May the Lord heal our paralysis. May we be resurrected in soul like these beautiful young men. That is, we're resurrected in body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.